Introduction. In the summer of 671 BCE, an army dispatched by the Assyrian king Esarhaddon marched through Western Asia, crossed the Sinai Peninsula, and entered the land of Egypt. Pharaoh Taharqa managed to flee, but his wife, his crown prince, and many of his harem women were captured. Along with enormous amounts of booty and with political hostages, craftsmen, exorcists, and magicians numbering in the hundreds, they were brought to Nineveh, Esarhaddon's mighty capital on the Tigris River in northeastern Iraq. It was an unprecedented triumph for Assyria. 2 years earlier, King Esarhaddon had stated in one of his inscriptions that all his enemies trembled like reeds in a storm, that their hearts were pounding, and that there was no rival whom my weapon could not face. Now, in the wake of his great victory over Egypt, the Assyrian king could make good on his braggadocio. He dispatched letters requesting gifts and professions of respect from rulers of several faraway territories in the Mediterranean, from Cyprus to Greece to what is now modern Spain. When they complied, Esarhaddon had every reason to claim, "I achieved victory over the rulers of the four quarters of the world, and sprinkled the venom of death over all my enemies." The Assyrian conquest of Egypt represented the culmination of a long historical journey. When that journey began, in the second half of the third millennium BCE, there were few signs that the country would one day achieve hegemony over all of Western Asia and some adjoining territories. In fact, Assyria was barely a country at all. In the beginning, there was only the city of Ashur. Located some 100 kilometers, 62 miles, south of Nineveh, Ashur was home to a number of important temples, including that of a god likewise named Ashur. But it was not a major political player. Around 2000 BCE, after spending several centuries under the heel of the powerful kingdoms of southern Mesopotamia, Ashur became politically independent. For the following 300 years, the so-called Old Assyrian period, it was jointly ruled by a popular assembly and a dynasty of hereditary leaders. The city's role as a hub in the international trade in tin and textiles permitted Ashur to accumulate considerable wealth during this time. A period of decline starting around 1700 BCE brought the old Assyrian city-state and many of its institutions to an end. But the journey was not over. When Ashur got back on its feet in the 14th century BCE, it assumed a very different role, serving as capital of a territorial state, eager to expand its borders through military means. This birth of Assyria, in the proper sense of the term, its emergence as a land that included great cities such as Nineveh, Kala, and Arbela, and soon others much farther away, marked the beginning of a new era, the Middle Assyrian period. Now a full-fledged monarchy, Assyrians started to see their land as a peer of the most powerful states of the time, from Babylonia in the south to Egypt in the west. During the 11th century BCE, the Assyrian kingdom experienced a new crisis, this one caused by climate change, migrations, and internal tensions. It lost most of its provinces, especially in the west. But when the dust settled, it managed to rise from the ashes faster than any of the other states in the region. A number of energetic and ruthless Assyrian rulers of the Neo-Assyrian period, circa 934 to 612 BCE, took advantage of the weakness of their political rivals, embarking on a systematic campaign of subjugation, destruction, and annexation. Their efforts, initially aimed at the reconquest of areas that had been under Assyrian rule before, and then moving farther afield, were carried out with unsparing and often violent determination.